Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I want to speak to you guys today. And I was thinking on the way over here, I thought, you know, most of the stuff that I speak to you guys about doesn't even apply to you. Because I don't know, you know, in my time of prayer and reading, I find that most of what comes to mind is stuff that is really just for me. Not necessarily for anyone else. But we're going to work on this one today, huh? I had a really good message for you guys, and I still do. My training officer let me down. I needed a piece of equipment, right? And I mentioned to him last week, I said, hey, I need this piece of equipment to take to church to speak to the seniors about. And he said, okay, I'll get it for you. All right. So I worked Monday, right? Yeah, Monday. I worked Monday. And so I call him up. Hey, where you at? I'm in Maryland in a class. Like, you're supposed to give me this piece of equipment. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Like, so then we had to go to plan B. And this is something that's been on my mind. I remember, you know how, if you can think of things that just kind of stick in your head, messages that you heard. And I've talked to you guys before about the message of the rock, right? Don't let the rocks cry out. It's a memorial. Think about what God's done for you. Another one I remember my dad preaching years ago, what if everybody was just like us? What if every Christian that you knew was just like you, had the same habits you have? What if every person, just in general, doesn't have to be a Christian, whatever, just if every person had the same interests or the same attitudes that you had? It'd be a dull place, one, because we'd all be alike. But then along with that comes all the other stuff. You know, are they happy like you? Are they sad like you? Are they whine like you? They rejoice like you? That's really a challenging question, and it makes you really have to look on the inside. And as even more so as a Christian, if every Christian were just like you, you know, what kind of prayer life would they have? What kind of social life would they have? How would other people view them? You know, it goes a little bit deeper on the Christian level. And I was thinking about that, so I come up with this message about imitators. We all want to imitate somebody, right? We all want to imitate. Is when we were kids, you know, children will a lot of times take on the characteristics of a parent. A lot of the time. Now, you will see some that they'll either take on those characteristics and be like them and have the same interests. You know, my dad played golf, so I enjoyed playing golf. And I still play golf, you know. Little things like that. They're either going to follow right in there with them or they're going to be totally opposite. Because there's some parents that you just don't want to imitate. And there's other parents that just have an attitude that children will run from. So they're either going to be like them or they're going to be just totally opposite of them, you know. But in our society today, we see, you know, Hollyweird. Those people will come up with stuff and the hairdos that they do, you know. Hey, I need a haircut like that. I need a hairdo like that. And just in the hairdo thing, think about the transitions from when you guys were younger to the haircuts we have today, you know. I'd love to have a shaved head or a high and tight, but since you don't like it, you don't. So I have to have some hair on my head for that. But you know, the body, the clothes that we wear. Think about the clothes we wear today versus the clothes that you guys wore when you were younger. And a lot of that came from an influence from somebody, right? Fashion world will drive a part of that. And I never did understand when you'd watch these fashion shows, some of those crazy outfits that women would wear up there. You never seen women around here wear stuff like that, you know, with the big old flared shoulders and poofy pants and all that other stuff. I'm like, who buys that stuff, you know? But what we wear, the things we do, the way we act, a lot of time is driven by the world and people we see. I remember as a new firefighter at Montgomery Air Force Base, or Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, there was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Peavy. We had civilians there also. Curtis Peavy. And so I got fortunate enough to be on his apparatus. So as a new firefighter, you know, I didn't know nothing. So it's like, you better learn something. So I read all the books you're supposed to read. But I'd watch Curtis. And I'd see how Curtis would interact with people. I'd seen how he interacted with the pilots when, you know, you had to talk to the pilots. And so when it come that time, I'd been there long enough, I could step up into his spot. When he was gone, I was Curtis Peavy. Reincarnated, because that's how I seen Curtis do it. I wanted to be like Curtis, and I knew Curtis did it right, so I wanted to be like him. Now, what if Curtis would have been a bad attitude type fellow, and him and I just kind of connected? The attitude that I would have taken on was a Curtis Peavy bad attitude, but he was a good guy. But we can all think of people in our lives that at some point or another has influenced us to the point where we want to maybe just be a little bit like those people, you know, even as kids, maybe a long time ago, but, you know, as kids, we want to be like the cool kid, you know. But we have people that we wanted to imitate or mimic. Let's look at my text for today. It's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and it's from the New Living Translation. It says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life," am I reading the right one? "Live a life with love, following Christ, the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to the Lord," or to God. So imitate God, therefore. That's kind of a big challenge, isn't it? To be imitators of God. Really, the only example that we have on this earth is Jesus. So we want to be imitators of Jesus. How about that? The Greek translation of the word imitator or imitation is, this is not up here, King, is mimetos, which is really just another word for mimicking. So we get our word mimic from the word, or we get our word imitator from the word mimic. So the words kind of go together. So we either mimic people or we imitate people. You know, you've seen a monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, you know? That's kind of a... It's really true, because sometimes we see people do it, so we want to do it too, you know? And it goes back to the old thing, you know, you see somebody jump off a bridge, you want to jump off a bridge? Well, there are people that will. Hey, that looks cool. Looks like that might be fun. Let's go do it, you know? I'm not even going to the bridge. I'm not going to jump off no bridge. So we have a tendency to want to follow or do things. It's just a natural tendency. We think about people in the church. You see the people that in the church that you admire, and you see how they conduct themselves, and so you think, well, this is the person I admire, and that's how they are. I might want to try to be more like that, you know. And I think we can all say that we've been in churches where there are people like, I don't want to be like that, you know. So there's a positive and a negative there. Either you want to be like them or you don't want to be like them. Okay, let's go to our point. Point number one, let me get it up here. We read our text. Point number one, there's four ways. I'm going to talk about four different ways how we can be imitators of God, okay? We can be imitators because of his nature in us. 2 Peter 1, 4 says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption and caused by human desires." So because he's given us that, we can take on his divine nature. So that's a good thing, right? So if we want to be like him, we might ought to take on his nature. And then Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him." So put on a new nature. Now that can be a challenge for some of us, especially when we get this age, you know, because for most of us, we're pretty much set in our ways. I mean, being honest, right? We're pretty much in a groove, and hopefully that groove is a good groove to be in. But when I was thinking about myself, it's like put on the new nature. Who am I? And this is the nature that I want to be in, just like Christ. Amen. Second thing is because of his Holy Spirit gives us help. We can be just like him because of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." It made me think about the scripture when he was sending them out, you know, and don't, you know, when you're in trouble, things come along, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will help you say the right thing. It'll give you the words to say. It's really hard to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, because because the Holy Spirit's really what prompts us. I remember my dad kind of dumbed it down for me, right? He said, you know, if you can do things and that little voice in your head doesn't say, hey, that's not really good, then you need to be careful because the Holy Spirit's just really not talking to you. But when you do stuff that you know, absolutely know you should be doing, and that little voice in your head says you shouldn't be doing this, it's the Holy Spirit talking to you and telling you, hey, you know what? It's probably not the right thing to do. And when you lose that conviction in your heart, you lose that voice, now you're in a bad shape. Because now we don't have that Holy Spirit talking to us, communicating with us. That's a horrible place to be in. John 16 and 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on what he, but he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. And who's he heard it from?
Jesus.
Jesus, right? This is the Spirit talking to us. So he's getting these words directly from heaven. He will tell you about your future. That's kind of thrown in there too. But the Holy Spirit's only going to whisper and tell you things that he's only heard from the Father. Right? So you can count on the Holy Spirit. Now, as imitators, this is, I'm just going to have to stop here because I don't know where else this goes. But we know that our enemy can imitate, right? He's probably one of the better imitators there is out there. You know? And you got to be careful with that voice that you hear in your head. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you just probably need to abandon that idea and learn from it. Because the enemy can imitate what God is saying to you. I think it was Pastor that preached about it. Was it Pastor that preached it? Or no, what Pastor? It was,
Rex.
The guy that was here Sunday.
Oh,
was it Deke Silverman?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm sure about that. No. Anyway, it's about the serpent, you know?
Yeah.
He's deceiving Adam and Eve.
You know,
there's this beautiful tree here. What do you mean you can't eat it? No, you can't eat this tree. What do you mean? That doesn't make sense. Everything God makes is good, right? This tree is good. He called it good. You know? Why would he put it there for you not to eat? Okay? And that totally went against what God had said. So, hindsight's always 20/20, right? Eve, because that's who the story he's talking to, should have said, oh, wait a minute. And she even said it. No, we're not supposed to eat that or even touch it, you know? We're not supposed to do that. Oh, but think about what it can do for you. And he deceived her, imitating God, you know. And she ate it, and here we are today. But the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you anything that's contradictory to what the Word of God says. And that brings us to point number three. Because of his Word, we can live a life, and imitate, and be like Christ, right? Psalms 119 and 9 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying the Word. If you're not in the Word, then how do you know what the Word says about being pure? The Word's going to help you out, amen? Matthew 4:4 says, but Jesus told him, no, the Scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And where do we get those words? In our Bible, right? Because all the Scriptures are inspired by God. So, there again, we see it talking about the Word of God is the right way to be, and that's where you get the ability to learn and be what God wants you to be and be an imitator of Him. And then finally, it's because we stay connected to Him. It's like Curtis Peavy was to me. If I didn't hang around Curtis Peavy and I didn't ride the rescue truck with Curtis, then I probably wouldn't care what Curtis did. And I'd find the next guy that was in charge to kind of be my mentor and follow after him. But I had to spend time with Curtis, right? I had to be with Curtis all every shift. But, James Bond's on his way. If we want to be like Christ, then we need to stay connected to Christ. We've also already said that we need to stay connected to Him through His Word. We need to stay connected with Him through His Holy Spirit, right? But this is a time of prayer. Matthew 26:41 says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I think I've mentioned this before. You know, I don't know if they do it anymore because I don't go to the post office. You know, the post office used to be the most wanted people, top 10 most wanted people. You could go in there and see their pictures on the wall. And I've said it before, and I believe it, that if we went in there and looked at the most wanted that would harm me, my picture would be right up there with them, because I am my worst enemy at times. Because my flesh wants to go do this. That sounds good. But my spirit needs to be strong. So you know what? No, you don't need to go do that. Or no, you probably shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't ask that lady about, you know, what honeydews are. You know? I should have listened that day. Okay. And then Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. And I thought that was interesting, because if Jesus, who is the Son of God, right, he knew exactly who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what he was going to have to walk. You know, he knew everything. And if this guy had to go alone and spend time with his Father, how much more important it is for us to get away and spend time with God. Because, you know, we know where we came from, just like Christ knew where he came from. And we know what we are. Know we're earthen vessels with a strong will. How much more do we need to spend time in prayer than that? I had a thought, and this may sound kind of hard and tough. This is in conclusion too. You know, we've all encountered people at church and in the world, in our workplaces and such, that claim to be Christians. But when you step back and you look at them, you listen to them, and you think, you know what? What you're saying and what you're doing just really isn't lining up with what I would consider a Christian. Some of them really go out there, you know. Some faiths believe that, you know, hey, if today I confess my sins before God, and then I go out there and live like the devil and do all the bad stuff there is, then it's okay, because, you know, years ago I went to the altar and let the preacher pray for me and I accepted Christ. So all my sins are covered. Okay, now, all our sins are covered, but I believe we can walk away from that covering. So when there are people that profess to be Christians, but they're doing evil stuff, they profess to be Christians, but they're living with a man or a woman unmarried. Oh, I stepped out there, didn't I? Okay, when you see that kind of stuff, you know, is this really the Christian example? You know, you hear people talk, and it doesn't necessarily mean. And this is one that I struggle with too. It doesn't necessarily mean that we use profanity in every word we say. Okay, but as a Christian, I say, hey, I'm a Christian. This guy's at work, no, I am. But we'll be sitting in the engine, we'll be going places, and they'll get to talk about Trey, our battalion chief, and it's like, yeah, he's an idiot. You know, some of the stuff he does, that's just dumb. You know, I wouldn't do that. That's stupid. You know, Trey's an idiot. I stop and think to myself, you know, am I really being the Christian example here of falling right in line with them boys and just, yeah, Trey's an idiot. You know? Some of the stupid stuff he does. And there are times when I know what Trey's done, and Trey's done some dumb stuff, and I think to myself, oh, I want to tell Ray and Lauren this, right? And I think, kiss myself, it's like, is that going to be a positive for Trey, or is it going to be a negative? Is it going to lift him up, or is it going to tear him down? And I have to stop and say, man, I wish I could tell him that, but I probably shouldn't. Because it's not going to do nothing but make him look even worse in their eyes than he already does. And the chief, you know, nobody likes the chief. Chief's the chief. Except the city people, they like chief. But firemen don't like chief. So it's real easy. So what I'm saying here is there are things that we can do. Our attitudes, the way we talk about other people, can be a negative reflection on the Christian walk, on Christ. So, dare I say, either do it or don't do it. Either follow him or don't follow him. because the example you set may lead people to hell. And I think about the scripture. I don't know where it's at. Steve does. When Jesus says, in that day, there will be many that come to me and say, you know, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did all this stuff for you. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. And what a sad thought to think all your life you've been doing right and you're a Christian. And then you get to that point where there's no return. And he tells you, nope, you failed. That would be horrible. That would be really horrible. So it made me think, okay, am I doing what the Word says I should be doing? Am I living a life that's an example of the Word? Because if I get there and I can know in my heart I've done what it says in this Word, I've lived a life that's holy and pure according to the Word of Christ, I don't have to worry about anything because I know He's going to, you know, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we're not, I would say don't even go there. Don't call yourself a Christian if you can't live according to the Word of God. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm saying, you know, either do or don't. I'm saying either do or don't, but it's better that you do. It's a whole lot better if you do than if you don't. Amen? I know that's not hard. 1 John 3:10 says, so now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's not a Brian Thomas quote, you know. That's right out of the Bible. We know that John wrote it, but it was inspired by God to write. You either are or you're not. You're either living for the Lord, children of Christ, or you're not. There ain't no gray area there. One or the other. So the challenging question today, and not necessarily for you guys, but if this was just for the church, which one are you? Are you lining up with what he says, or are you not lining up with what he says? And if you want to line up with him, there's things you can do. He puts in us a nature that he has. We have the Holy Spirit's help to live that life. We have his word to live that life. And we spend time with him to be imitators of him, right? So if you're going to imitate somebody, imitate Christ. Amen? Not a man, because there's really not a man alive that we should be imitating. There are some good men in this world, you know? Pastor Doug is a great man. He's a good example to us. But is he the man that we all want to mimic and be like? Maybe in some ways, but really not. There ain't none of us that can measure up. He's just a man. And he'd probably be the first one to admit, I failed just like any other man. But Jesus didn't fail, right? Amen? All right. That's it, Steve.